brother. What's up?
This is a good recording, man.
Yeah, brother. Like,
life is happening. Every day it's something. If it's not on the news, on your social media feed, on the radio, even on the radio. Listen, it's happening. We got to accept that. But if we can do that and just breathe, the rest, with a little bit of humor and a little bit of soul advice, we'll work through it together.
Please tune in for Two Brown Ladies in a Microphone on KYRS 92.3, 88.1 FM, Medical Lake, Spokane.
Good afternoon. That was a song, a festive song. Good afternoon, everybody. You are listening to Two Brown Ladies in a Microphone on KYRS Medical Lake Spokane 88.1 and 92.3. Hello.
Hello. How are you today?
I am well. I'm well. I'm as well as can be. I'm as well as can be.
Sounds like you had to think about that.
I did have to think. Are you living in our world? Yes, I did have to think about it. I am well today. And how are you, Ms. Brown?
You know what I'm doing? I'm having a great day. And guess what, everybody? I'm not tired.
What?
I'm not tired.
You are tired every week.
Well, not this week.
Okay. Well, very good. Then I will lay back and relax. Listen, I was waiting to get here today.
We have a exciting day today.
Today is going to be good. But there have been so many things that have happened during this week that I just needed to tell all of the Two Brown Ladies in a Microphone listeners about.
Do tell, please.
We have funny ones. They're very funny things. Well, they were funny to me. That's why I'm going to tell you about them. But we are going to call that segment. I didn't tell you about this. Did I tell you about the new segment?
No.
I didn't?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so
would have been nice.
Okay, no, on Two Brown Ladies in a Microphone, we are going to have a new segment as of today, and that segment is going to be called I Cannot Make This Stuff Up.
Oh, I like it.
That's a good one, right?
I think I even like this one better than What Pisses Me Off.
Well, no. For those of you who don't know what she's talking about, we had a No Rules Day on Two Brown Ladies in a Microphone a few weeks ago. And on No Rules Day, we can talk about whatever we want to. And so the subject was, let's talk about things that piss us off. So completely inappropriate, yeah. But it was No Rules Day, so it was fine. So no, today our new segment, and I think we should do this segment every week, actually. I can roll with that. Okay, so we'll bring that on every week. We also have an in-studio guest today.
Oh, I didn't let it out the bag.
Well, usually you tell it before we even say hello. Somebody's here. I have something to say. Yeah.
So today, just with the grandson.
Okay. Well, today you did hold it in. I let it out. We have someone in studio who is, I'm not going to tell you who he is just yet. And I will actually allow him to tell you who he is. But we are excited that he is here with us today. One of the things that we've talked about on Two Brown Ladies in a Microphone is that we are interested in getting to know people. We're interested in getting to know all kinds of people. If you are a resident of this city, or really, I'd say a resident of this earth. If you are a resident of this earth, I would like to get to know you because I would like to understand you. And I would like to have the opportunity to learn from you. And you only learn from people if you get to know them. So I'm excited about that today. We're going to get to know a new friend and have a chance to find out a little bit about who he is. How has your week been, Ms. Brown?
I am super blessed. I had a super blessed week. Wasn't super busy as my past weeks have been, and it has allowed me time to really reflect, to think about the things that I want to do and do differently, and new approaches to my work.
So let me translate that. Does that translate to mean I didn't have 47 Zoom meetings?
I only had 27.
Exactly. I knew it. It's the Zoom meetings. They're wearing us all out. That's what it is. Okay, well, I'm glad to hear that your week was better this week. I had a week that was similar to the last one. I try to make something good about my week every week. Regardless of what happens, I'm trying to find the good in all of it. And sometimes that is harder than others, but, you know, I'm working on it. I'm working on myself, I should say. So I want to tell you guys who our guest is. First, let's see if you can guess his voice. Special guest, will you say hello?
Hello, everybody. Good afternoon, and I'm really excited to be joining two brown ladies in a microphone here this afternoon.
Who do you think that was?
I know.
Who do you think it was? It could have been anybody. Who is it?
He has a radio voice.
He does have a radio voice. He's amazing. he can take, hey, you can, we can make you an honorary brown lady with a microphone, and then you can take over so we can take a vacation.
It is radio, and if you think I could get by with it, I'm game.
I think you could. So, Ms. Brown, do you want to tell our listeners who our guest is today?
Well, first name is Lance.
Lance.
Last name is Grell.
Garrell. It's Lance Garrell. Thank you, Lance, for being here with us today. And thank you for giving us space to get to know you and for coming on to get to know the two brown ladies a little more. So feel free to chime in whenever you want to. Hopefully you have a story to contribute to the I Can't Make This Stuff Up segment today.
Well, I'm waiting to see what yours are.
Okay.
I have one, so you
okay,
go
good,
ahead.
Good, very good.
Well, you know, let's start by, so two brown ladies monitor their emails, and there was an email request, and I'm like, do you know what this is?
Yeah, and I said, wait, what's going on? But then once we opened it up, we found that we had several more that we have been a little laxed in reading and getting back to right away. And so if you are interested in coming on to Brown Ladies in a Microphone, please don't give up. Give us another chance. Write or email us, and we will get back to you as soon as possible. We've been a little busy. It's been a pandemic.
So, yes, Lance emailed us and asked if we would be interested. Of course we're interested.
Of course. And I'm telling you, I am going to find out the thing. There's going to be a thing, Lance. I want you to know this. There's going to be a thing that is like, that's why I needed to talk to Lance. And we always find
happens.
The thing. It's very strange, but it's a real thing. Okay. So let's start off with the I can't make this stuff up. Story number one. This week, everybody, no, you guys might not know this, but I am an avid thrifter. Like, if I remember one year, actually, let me tell you how serious this is. One year for my birthday, the gift that I wanted was to rent a little, like a van, a U-Haul kind of van, and drive through like two states. Going to thrift stores and antique shops and picking stuff up. Is that not true?
Oh, it's absolutely true. And I don't know if I would just say avid. I don't know. I would say more like addicted.
Yes. Well, I'm good at it too. And I find the
you
most.
You are good at
oh,
it.
Oh, yes. I find the most amazing things. And so I love this idea of thrifting. I also thrift partially. This is not the whole reason. One is because I like really good things. I really like nice things. Now, that does not mean that I want to pay the price for the nice things. And then secondarily, I like the idea of having something that has already been on this earth. I feel like it's a little more responsible to recycle things than just to always buy new stuff and create more stuff. So, since there's good stuff out there already, I'll just go find it at the thrift store or at the Goodwill or antique shop.
Yeah, we're probably going to have to get us a warehouse, storage warehouse at some point.
Yes, because I think you told me this week there are no more walls. No more. You said that. No more art, no more nothing.
We have artwork on every wall in our house.
It is
every
true.
Single wall.
That is true. So, okay. So I kind of have developed this, which I was excited. Social media did this for me, not for everyone, for me. Social media created places like OfferUp. Or Facebook Marketplace.
Craigslist.
All those things that you could access the items online. And so I was wanting to do, create a dining space in the backyard. And so I'm like, okay, let me search, because I know exactly what kind of table I want, exactly what kind of chairs will go with the decor and all the stuff. And so I found a set, certainly, and I did the thing that I do, which is negotiate the price, of course, because I have to. It's the right way to do it. And the I explained to the gentleman that I was corresponding with that I didn't have a truck. You know, which is so ridiculous that in 2020 someone would live in Spokane and not have a truck.
I heard you mention that in a previous
show. I think you got to have a truck to live in Spokane, and I don't have one yet, so I need to get a little used pickup truck. But so I explained to the gentleman that I was speaking with that I did not have a truck, and so would he be available for delivery? And to my surprise, he said yes, which was great. I was willing to compensate him for the delivery. I don't expect anything free. And so he came and brought the table and chairs. Well, here's the part that I can't make this stuff up. He brings the table and chairs, and he's coming from Idaho. Okay. I could stop there. I could do a boom pow right there, but I'm not. I'm going to keep going. So he's coming from Idaho. So I am somewhat prepared for who the person might be, because I have in my mind, like we all do, implicit biases and thoughts around who's who. And so I have a character in my mind that is the character that is the man from Idaho. And so this gentleman, he pulls up and he says, Nice neighborhood. I saw the signs. So, what he was talking about, again, for those that you don't know, we live in a gated community here in Spokane that is extremely, 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 I could go on with the extremes for the rest of the day and I wouldn't be enough, conservative. I don't have a problem with conservative thinking or people. You guys know that. I love everybody. I just want to understand you. But he looked at the signs and assumed that, one, that I was a conservative because he saw the other signs in other people's yards. And he assumed that that meant it was a great neighborhood. That's not what that means. What? I said, what?
Just because of the signs.
Just because of the signs. And then to me, it feels like, so if you think that if a neighborhood has lots of conservative signs in the yards, that means good. And in any neighborhood that doesn't have that is bad. Like, I wouldn't have even put those two together.
It's not
that
logical.
Way. It doesn't make logical sense. And again, I can't make this up. So he moves the table. We take the table and chairs out of his truck, which I was super excited about. I noticed as I was unloading one of the chairs that he had quite a few stickers on the back of his truck. Stickers are okay. You can put whatever sticker you want on your car or your truck. That is your business. But it also goes back to that implicit bias. It made me think a certain thing by reading the stickers on the truck. So as he was getting ready to leave, we were saying goodbye and I was paying for the table and chairs, and said driver says to me, you know, this Corona stuff is all made up.
Oh, okay. This is where it goes all wrong.
I was caught. I felt like I was caught by a candid camera or something. What? Do you mean this is all made up? What are you saying? How are you saying this? And I, in that moment, I remember looking at him, Lance, and I just was like, I was really a deer caught in headlights.
Did you have your mask on?
You know I did. You know I did.
Thank you very much.
Which might have been why he said it's all made up. So then I said, oh, wow. I said, really? I said, you think that? And he said, oh, yeah, no, it's made up. Here is the part that I could not make up. this gentleman went on to tell me who he was. A very nice guy. Let me tell you, he was a nice guy. And the stickers on his car or his truck didn't mean that he wasn't nice, because he really was polite and everything. But he goes on to say this to me. He said, it's not real. It's made up. And how I know that is that I know three people that are directly connected to the medical field who know that this is all a scam.
Was it one of our hoaxes, maybe, that we talked about?
Three is all it took.
And I thought, you know three? Well, what about the millions of people who are researching this? And, you know, the folks who are the scientists, what about them? It's so many more than three. But he said that because of the three had told him that they were not real. It wasn't a real thing, basically, and that our response to it as a society is overblown, is not reasonable, way out of line, it's ruining our economy, and all of those things.
Yeah.
And so I didn't really know what to say. I didn't know what to say.
That's so interesting. So, I mean, out of everything that is going on and people that are dying from this COVID-19 and all of that, how could you possibly get your mindset in a place to think that it's a hoax?
I don't know.
It just kind of brings me back to the story that we talked about, the gentleman that the nurse told of his dying words that mm-hmm. went to the COVID-19 party, and he said, I made a mistake. It's not a hoax.
Mm-hmm. It's real.
It's real.
Lance, what have you been hearing about it?
People will just dismiss facts that don't match up to their frame of reference. If the facts don't follow what their political leaders are telling them, then they're going to dismiss them, and that's dangerous, and it's a shame.
Yeah, that's very dangerous. And do you remember, Ms. Brown, that I actually, long story short, I ended up having to get change to give to the gentleman. And so I followed him to a gas station and to try to get change anyway.
Oh, wait a minute. You leave an important part.
Yeah. So, right. Because this is another one that I can't make this stuff up. So we, near my house, there is this,
it's a Ryzen Bank.
Credit union. And so, I'm following behind the seller of the table and chairs, and he goes into the credit union parking lot, and he's going to walk into the credit union to get change. So I'm looking at the credit union door, and I see the sign that says mask mandate. Mask mandate. I see it. And I also see my good new friend who does not have a mask on. But do you think that made him turn around and go to his car? It did not.
Oh,
well, he said he's not wearing a mask.
He's not wearing it. He's going in the credit union. And so I am literally in my car kind of freaking out watching this whole thing take place. And then I have to tell y'all the truth, because, you know, Miss Keonda Duncan don't tell lies. I really watched this as it was happening, because the next thought I had in my mind was, is this white man going to really walk into this bank without a mask and they're going to give him change? I needed to know if it was going to happen or not. So he walks into the bank. I'm still shocked. And he's in there for a couple minutes, and then he comes out and he kind of throws his hands up as if he couldn't get change there. But I was still so shocked that you were able to just walk in and, you know, and demand
and
what you
thought that perhaps they were going to let
yes.
you in, even
oh.
though they had the sign.
Oh, man. Listen, I couldn't even believe it. So I follow him to the next store. And we have to go to another store that's just down the street, a gas station. And we're able to get the change. And then as we're getting ready to leave, you know, we're talking, exchanging words. He's telling me a little bit more about some videos that he was going to send me. And the videos were to prove that this whole coronavirus thing is a hoax. He was going to send me the videos. And I said, please do. Let me give you my email, because I really want to see what you are talking about and what videos are you able to watch and walk away from and think this is a hoax. I want to know about it.
So I want to know, how many do you think are like the gentleman you met that believe that coronavirus is a hoax?
So well, many.
Am I correct that when you went down to the other store, they let him in without
yes, they
a
did.
Mask?
Absolutely. Because right? he wasn't putting one on. So no, he didn't.
He
have
didn't have to go far to find a store that didn't.
That's
care.
Right. That's
they
right.
Didn't care about it.
That's right. So that felt to me unbelievable because I have been saying this all along, and I keep bringing back this conversation about masks too. This is about us not being connected as human beings. We're disconnected from each other, because if you believe that masks are not necessary, that's fine. You can believe that. I'm not saying that you can't. If you believe that the coronavirus is not real, that's fine. I'm not even saying you can't believe that. But can you be connected enough to your fellow man that those people who believe it is real and who need us to wear masks for their health and safety, that we value them enough as a human just to listen to what they're saying and to protect them? Again, not saying you can't believe that the masks aren't needed, but I just think we gotta go deeper as humans and start to really look at how we are showing up on this earth. So that was that. So he ended up getting the change and didn't get it from the credit union, and sent me the videos, which I'll share with you, were really interesting, and I was grateful that he sent them. Now, this is another thing that happened that we can't make this stuff up. This is a funny one, though. So we had went and had dinner at a local restaurant here in Spokane, Park Lodge, which is one of our favorite restaurants. It's over in Kendall Yards. Ashley Graham is the general manager over there, and she's wonderful, and their staff. I mean, they just have some of the best staff in this city. But we had gone over there for dinner, and there was this family that was going to be coming into the restaurant to have dinner as well. So we are standing out there because we both had arrived right at their opening, and we're talking to the family, and the father in the family was visiting from Seattle. Well, turns out he is a satire writer. And so he's telling us about his work, and I was really interested in that. Well, then he said, so what are your thoughts around like what's happening with the Black Lives Matter movement and all these things, right? And so without going in too much, I just said to him, I said, well, here, this is what I'll say. We were invited to a friend's birthday celebration on a boat at a lake in Idaho. And one of the things that I was concerned about was what time we would be driving back through Idaho, because we would be in the car alone. So if that tells you how I feel about things, or if I think that what we are seeing in this movement right now is necessary, there you have it. But this satire writer was genius, and I have to tell you what he said. So I'm telling him about the boat, and I'm like, yeah, we needed to get back in time because we didn't want to get caught over there in the dark and, you know, nighttime, and that didn't feel very safe. And he said, wait, are you guys black? It was the funniest thing. I don't know why I was so tickled, but I could imagine reading it like in a cartoon or, mm-hmm. You know, it was just so perfect. Don't you think that's funny,
yeah,
Lance?
That's funny.
That was pretty funny.
And he talks satire. Every, you know, he always has a little twist on it. Everything that he says is, he's quite hilarious.
Yeah, he was amazing. So it was super nice to get a chance to meet him. So, Lance, hello.
Hello.
Tell me about yourself.
Well, I'm an accountant, someone who went back to school in my mid-40s and began another career as a certified public accountant. That tells you a little bit about how old I am, if I've gone into a second career after that. I've been a work-from-home accountant. I've been involved with my community in different ways, small ways. In my accounting profession, I work a lot with trying to empower people to learn how to do their own finances with their businesses and not-for-profits. I got involved a little over a year ago when I came back to this area and realized that the people who'd been elected to represent my area didn't represent my values.
Mm.
And to try to keep this as general and not specifically political about my situation.
Yeah, because don't get political, because we want to know. I've asked you, who are you? How are you? Tell me about you.
So that's me. I'm a father of five and grandfather, great-grandfather of one new great-granddaughter yesterday.
Congratulations on that.
I came back to this area about 20 years ago. My wife's family's from the Spokane area. And this is the most beautiful place to live in the country. I have been in every state, all 50 states. They have their pluses and minuses, but...
Spokane is a beautiful place. That's true.
It's beautiful. The weather's great. So I've decided that I wanted to get involved in public service. I don't think of myself as a politician. I really think of myself as a citizen, elected, you know, to be elected official, but somebody who believes that it's important that our government is of the people and by the people.
Mm-hmm.
And by the people means that we have citizens who get involved.
Mm-hmm.
I'm particularly interested in the fact that we need more people to get involved in voting and seeing that voting represents their values and that there's something to benefit them in getting involved, even though there are a lot of things that go on that make people think that there aren't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you mention the Black Lives Matter movement, to me it's both a... There's an encouraging side to it, of course. I think it's great. The discouraging part is that I'm old enough to been involved early on as a teenager during civil rights times in the 60s.
And were you involved back then?
I was.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I mean, I'm very fortunate. You know, my parents, I'm fortunate. I'm privileged.
Okay.
Let's get the word right.
Okay.
But part of that is that my parents raised me well. But when I heard you ask last week, I think, when was the first time that somebody told you to feel bad or hate another race?
Mm-hmm.
One of my earliest experiences, I grew up in Maryland in the D.C. suburbs. My dad worked for the Veterans Administration. He came to this country at 3 years old as an immigrant kid. His parents put him through college. And we would go on vacation into Virginia, and I specifically remember him showing me water fountains and restrooms that were white only and colored only.
Mm-hmm.
And he just said, you know, this is wrong. You know, these people are wrong. And I remember him having me drink out of both water fountains. And it's like, there's no difference, is there? And he showed me the pipes underneath. And so from an early age, I was both fortunate and blessed to have parents who really made me believe in fairness and equity. And so, you know, that's why I'm in this position of wanting to be an elected official to represent my community. And I guess the message I have for people is ask questions of the people that are running for office.
Mm-hmm.
See if the things they are saying they believe are matched by their records. See if the things that they say they believe match your values.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lance, I wanted to ask you, what, you know, before you said that you never would have believed yourself to be in the political arena, and what was the pivotal moment for you that made you say, I have to do this?
After the 2018 election, I happened to be away from here on election day, death of a family, and came back. And the country had really undergone a progressive revolution. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was elected, and even in this state, I came back to my district that I felt like extremists were representing, and so I decided to get involved as a volunteer with my local party. I wanted to know what I could do, and there were people who said, you know, there's an open seat on your city council, and so I ran. I didn't win, but I.
And how was that? How was running, and how was not winning?
I've likened running an election to riding on a snowball going down a hill. It all happens very fast. I've been surrounded by wonderful people helping me. As far as what was losing like, I did better than I expected, and I don't want to say that I didn't want to win, but winning was never the most important reason I was running. I was running to...
Pause. I want to make sure that all of our listeners heard what Lance just said, because I think you just said something that really could provide a... maybe I'll call it a moral compass for us in terms of politics. You don't just run because you want to win. You are running because you want to change something and help someone, right?
Yes.
And you want to make your community, your city better, your state better. So that, if you keep that at the core of why you are doing it, I think that's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love it. I wish everyone was that way. I think that's really important. That's really important. Thanks for saying that.
For me, it's a matter of I'm running to stand up for my values and what I believe, to say how I feel about things, to not be held back. The listeners can't tell quite how old I am.
Well, I will tell you guys. He looks like the young Superman, Clark Kent. Lots of muscles, very, very tall. Very tall. Very muscular.
Maybe more after he ran into kryptonite, but... But it's important to me to stand up for my values, and if I can be in the position to be able to advocate for people whose voices are being ignored, whose voices are being silenced, I mean, to me, that's a privilege of a lifetime. So that's what I'm after. That's why I'm doing this, is that I'd like to be in that position to represent people. And it's an amazing honor to have people that I don't even know find out about me, find
out who
I am, and believe in me, and believe that, yes, I believe you're going to represent us. And so that's a wonderful privilege.
That's, wow, okay.
So your email to us was that you wanted to talk about Black Lives Matters. And I have read a couple articles about you and that you actually participated with the Black Lives Matters. Tell me about your experience with that.
Well, most recently I've gone down to a couple of the rallies in town. The first time my wife and I went cautiously. We wore masks, we parked, we said, let's just walk up and see how safe it looks. And we saw a group of people who were all wearing masks and being very conscious about walking around people. So we stayed. It was a wonderful experience. The next week we had a lot of fun driving on one of the car caravans around.
the one that there were 500 vehicles in?
Yes, yeah. All around South Hill, and to have people come out and wave. So That was really great. I mean, I know that it's time once again that the time's come for change, and I'm thrilled to see people standing up and saying, you know, no more, you know, and of course I'm on the side of being a, you know, I'm a white ally, and
Lance, you're white.
I thought maybe you could tell by my
No,
voice.
I'm trying to get a job writing satire. Never mind. That didn't go over so well. Sorry. Okay.
That's good. I think it's important. I think it's good to have seen such an outpouring from around the community at those rallies. I was very glad to see that it wasn't a rally of mostly black and brown faces. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's a much more respectful attitude within a lot of the white activist community. Mm-hmm. Of this isn't our movement, that this isn't up to us to say what direction things should go, but to try to be
supportive.
You know, supportive, be culturally sensitive allies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so did you, because I, you know, I'm a person that likes to know about how you feel.
Okay.
I'm going to change my middle name to Feelings.
Your sentiment.
Yeah, the sentiment Feelings Duncan. But I do like knowing how people feel about things. That matters to me. What, for you and your wife, and I heard you say that, you know, you guys were ready to go, but of course still wanting to be very cautious in that. Was there a sense of fear for you even going and participating, or did you feel pretty safe? What did you feel?
Fear as far as the virus?
No, just as far as going to a Black Lives Matter movement.
Not in the least.
Okay.
There was caution about the virus. I grew up in the suburbs of Washington, D.C., and I lived in a, you know, I'm sure a red line, white only neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody asked the other day, if someone asked the question, can you remember the first time that you had a black teacher in high school or college? And I can't ever remember having a black teacher.
Not ever.
Either in high school and my first time in college in the 60s, or in my second time back in college, which was in Arkansas in the 90s. So, but I grew up around, you know, black people. And, mm-hmm. if, you know, I rode DC Transit bus before there was a Metro subway. And, mm-hmm. No, I've been going to rallies and places where I was, one of few white faces for mm-hmm. a long time.
Was that scary?
No. My parents never told me it should be scary.
Ah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just understanding how you were raised.
And so, I mean, I was fortunate enough and blessed enough to have gone to some amazing things. I mean, I was 12 years old and went to the 1963 March on Washington, heard Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, and heard John Lewis's speech. And I heard them. Now, I'm 12. And
so, yeah,
tell you
through
my,
a filter of a 12-year-old's
ear.
Yeah.
Life.
Mm-hmm.
No, but I listened to John Lewis's speech again, and I remember the feeling of a 12-year-old kid feeling like, he's almost as young as I am, and he's involved in this. And so I was really fortunate to do that. My dad is still alive at 93, and he's not going out of the house by COVID, and I'm not mm-hmm. going to travel back to go to the Capitol to John Lewis's lying in state. But he and I did go to Rosa Parks' lying in state at the Capitol.
You and your dad?
And we were one of few white faces there, but it was like, it was an important thing that, that she
Can
was
you?
At the Capitol. And I grew up in Washington. My dad has gone to, I said, is it an exaggeration to say you've been to 100 rallies and marches? And he said, well, 50 or 60 maybe, but...
Okay, I need to know if you're going to tell, if you can send your dad a message or take him a message from me.
Okay.
Okay, I want you to let him know that I'm a very nice person. I am, let's see, I love art. What I have two grandsons. What else could get him to adopt me as a granddaughter? Because I really want, tell him he is granddad goals.
And he is. I mean, I'm really fortunate. He's his physical health is declining. He hadn't gone to the gym the last year or two, but he's still sharp. And so I don't feel like I can claim a lot about some of the feelings that I have and the fact that, you know, there's no way going to a Black Lives Matter rally would frighten me. I've been more frightened around big white men
Me
in situations.
Me too.
And he just, you know, I know, I just, when I remembered back to that water fountain incident, I know he taught me that people are the same. And so I feel like I grew up with that. Being like water, I
so
never
you're not,
questioned
you're not,
it.
Let me tell you how that's said. You're not new to it. You are true to it.
Thank you.
Because it seems like your dad really set a precedence for the trajectory of your life, how you will see the world and move in it. I want to remind everyone you're listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM. We are having a great conversation with Lance Gruel. And I said it wrong.
Gurrell.
And we want to come back. I know this conversation is really great, but there's a couple housekeeping things that we have to do. But we'll be right back.
Is this a fever? Is this just allergies? Caught in a lockdown, no escape from the family. Don't touch your eyes, just hand sanitize quickly. I'm just a poor boy, no job security, because I'm easy spread, even though I wash my hands.
This is Robert Vox with the local band Light and Mirrors. We know these are very worrying times. The coronavirus has us all isolated from family and friends. We need to remember, in the long term, we will get through this. But like all challenges, we have to do our part. By following the CDC guidelines on social distancing and self-isolation, we can personally help stop the rate of infection from overwhelming our emergency medical response system. Remember that elderly and those with weakened immune systems are the most seriously at risk. We are doing this for our parents, grandparents, neighbors, and our friends. If you are one of the many Americans laid off by this crisis, please go to ESD.gov. That's Employment Security Department to get information about how to claim unemployment benefits, sick leave, and family leave. Remember to wash your hands frequently, stand or sit 6 feet or more from people when you're out and about, and please don't hoard and panic buy groceries. Instead, find out who needs your help in your neighborhood or contact KORS at 509-747-3012 or email at info@kors.org. Take care and listen for our new single, Stand Tall, releasing April 24th here on KYRS and other streaming platforms.
All right. You are listening to Two Brown Ladies in a Microphone on KYRS, Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3. Guys, I have to tell you, before we get back into our conversation, I'm feeling a little anxiety in my stomach.
Oh, no. What's going on?
I am looking at the clock, and we are going to be out of time. And there's so much to talk to Lance about.
I know, because I have a question.
Oh, okay. So kind of ask the questions fast, because I want to get through the questions.
Okay. Well, I have one last question. So I talked to my mother, and my mother is 86 years old now. And she lived both in the civil rights movement and now with Black Lives Matter. And it seems as though you've had the experience of both as well. Can you tell me if this Black Lives Matter movement is as, in my mind, I imagine that the civil rights movement was like, there was a lot of energy and action behind it during that time. Does it feel similar or does it feel still different?
My recollection of the civil rights movement is it went on for a long time. And to think about the difference, you know, how long it was between some of the first actions that happened in the South and the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act that were passed later. What we've seen with Black Lives Matter has happened, exploded within 2 months, as a, somewhere in there, and so maybe that's too early to tell. There were a lot of different parts to the civil rights movement, from the Black Panthers to the, you know, the SNCC and the NAACP that were, you know, to a large extent, you know, white organizations, or certainly not the same organizations they are today. So to me, it's different. I think we're at the beginning of something that, you know, I hope it continues. I hope that, you know, people just demand that it continue.
Guys, my stomach. It's my stomach again. We're going to run out of time. I'm so mad. Okay, let's go back to your dad, who I am hoping will be my new granddad. Let's talk about dad. So what did your dad say when you told him that you had considered getting involved in politics?
Oh, he's certainly supportive. I mean, he's been supportive of me with other things like that in the past. He certainly, I think he just saw it as kind of a natural extension of what I've been interested and involved in most of my life. So I want to, if I can, I want to throw one thing in that kind of touches on my dad and me as a grandfather, mm-hmm. and a little bit of you just can't make this stuff up. And I don't know if we're allowed to say on the radio.
No, don't ask the question. Just say it and then say, oh, I'm so sorry I said that.
Representative Yoho called Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez a fucking bitch.
I think we're supposed to push something, but I don't know where the button is.
It's up there.
Okay.
He called her something he shouldn't have. And I've had this discussion with my daughters, and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's response about not being raised to take men's abuse. And I feel proud. I don't want to take credit that I raised daughters and daughter-in-laws who won't take that kind of abuse. But I think it's important for men to not just not be the jerk that Representative Ojo was, but to make sure that they're not that other guy, Representative Johnson, I think it was, who stood shoulder to shoulder with him and didn't, you know, I mean, in my mind, it's just smack him, but at least say, dude, that's wrong. Mm-hmm. And so I'm bringing that up as kind of a segue between you just can't make this stuff up, mm-hmm. that people still act that way. And the fact that these same values, to respect people of all races, to respect people of all genders and national origin, persuasion, mm-hmm. I like to just say whatever, whatever, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's my little connection between the way I feel like I was raised, that you have to not only believe something, but you have to stand up and speak up, and you have to speak up and advocate for those people who can't advocate for themselves. And
Well, I will tell you this. Listen, I want your dad to be my granddad, but I think I might want you to be my dad. I really, your philosophies and beliefs, core beliefs, just seem to resonate so deeply with some things that I believe. So it's very, very
good
to
meet
you.
Well, thank you. But I'm not surprised at that either, that our values resonate. I follow a lot of what you say as well.
Oh, sneaky. Okay, got it. Wow. This is great. This is, guys, we have 5 minutes. I can't. I'm just going to quit.
I can, after reading about you, Lance, I do see that the elderly is close and dear, and you have a value system around yourself that is thoughtful of them, and early childhood education. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Of course, as a grandparent, early childhood education and guaranteed safe and affordable child care is really close to me. I mean, I'm that emergency child care giver who gets the call at 5 a.m. when someone's sick. And I understand that parents really need safe, affordable child care to be able to take extra shifts, to be able to work when they need to. Businesses need it to be able to have flexible workforces. And so the idea of going to Olympia and being able to advocate for early childhood education and safe, affordable child care is really exciting to me. I feel like this pandemic has kind of shown us that these things are part of the infrastructure, and if we don't have good child care, no one's going back to work if they don't feel safe about their kids. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I'm really excited about that. And I'm an accountant. I'm a CPA. Tackling this budget shortfall is going to be a challenge. And to me, the challenge is to be able to maintain services to people, to maintain the necessary services and maintain the safety net, and not just feel like everybody needs to share in this equally, because some people, you know, we're all suffering, but some people are suffering a lot more than others.
Mm-hmm.
I like the expression, we're all in the same ocean, but we're not in the same boat. We're all in the same storm, but we're not necessarily in the same boat. And
we need to be able to think about the people that are not experiencing life in the same way that we are.
Yes.
I think you might be my Sunday crush. Seriously. We are open to, and I want to make sure that all of our two brown ladies in the microphone listeners understand that we are really open to talking to anyone It doesn't have to be someone that we have similar beliefs with, or someone that is a likely candidate to befriend or to get to know one another. We want to talk to everybody. And I think that it's through these conversations that you get to learn who people are, and you get to understand a little bit about their way of thinking and why they think that way.
And their values.
And their values. And that is the point of getting to know people. And we all have values. Every single person. There's no one without values. I don't believe that. So this has been a really wonderful opportunity to get to have just a couple seconds with you today, Lance. We're so happy that you came on. Two brown ladies in a microphone.
Yeah, we absolutely are.
We are. This. Thank I'm you. So happy you came. I'm really so happy you came.
I think this week, the takeaway this week is get out and vote, and you don't have to leave your home.
Right.
August 4th is the deadline to get ballots back in. If you haven't received one yet, call the election office and find out what you have to do to get a ballot. But whoever it is, vote. Get involved as a voter. Get to understand the issues that are involved and the people who are involved, and it's your government, and especially at the local level, judges, sheriffs, county prosecutors, not all those are up for election this year, but all mm-hmm. those offices are elected
They're
by the
so
people.
Important. Mm-hmm. They are so important. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones that people have a tendency not to engage in, but we need you to engage at every level, every vote that we have. Let your voice be heard.
And whatever voice that is, whatever voice
Absolutely.
That is, whatever it is, just let it be heard. It's so important, and it's an opportunity also to get to know the people who you are voting for and understand who they are as human beings, not who they are in terms of what party they are with, but who they are as human beings, because that is the piece that's going to matter down the line when the election season is over. So we'd like to give you something to think about, to be inspired by every week as we end our show. And this week, it's a simple challenge. Take the time, even if it is through social media, to get to know someone that you don't know. Take the time to intentionally get to know someone that you do not currently know. Find out about who they are. Find out about their differences. Find out about how they see the world. Find out about how they exist in your world. I mean, all the things. But it will only happen when we talk to each other. And I think if we do that, because I've been, Lance, I don't know if you know this, but I've been trying to figure out how to fix this stuff. So part of my strategy for fixing this stuff is that we have got to start to understand others who are not like us. That's the beginning.
That's why you have migraines too.
I know, because I broke my brain from thinking so much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So thank you. Please do that this week, and then call us next week and let us know if you took a moment to get to know someone and what you found out from that conversation, because we care about what happens with you in your week. So thank you for joining Two Brown Ladies in a Microphone, KYRS, Medical Lake, Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3. Have a great week.